Everyone, how are you? You okay? You caught up with ourselves yet? The extra hour or the lost hour? It's good to see you all and to share a bit of time thinking about this passage together this morning. I'm going to start with reminding you of an earworm, I'm afraid. Well, it might be an earworm for those of you that know this song. It was out in the charts when I was sort of at A-level time, and it used to be, every so often it would come on at house parties. And the words are this, I won't sing it. The words are, what if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. If you found yourself on a bus with Jesus and you were on your way home, and there weren't many stops left, but you had time to just ask one question and get to hear the answer. I wonder what you'd ask. I wonder what you'd ask Jesus. Well, this chap that we hear about in the reading, he found himself near to Jesus in the middle of this debate that was going on between Jesus and the top bods and people of the time. And he had just one question to ask. And he chose this question he asked. He said, of all the commandments, which is the most important? In other words, in amongst all of this chatter, all of this talk, all of this debating, all of this teaching that we hear from various people, I want to know what you say is the thing that matters most. What matters most? What's the key to this life with God? What matters most? And we get to listen in today to the answer that Jesus gives. And Jesus says, love the Lord your God. So it's a really simple answer, actually. It's a really simple command, isn't it? Just love God with everything that you are and love your neighbour as much as you love yourself. It's quite a big answer, isn't it? We're just going to unpick it a little bit this morning. Tom Wright, in his book, Mark for Everyone, says that the Jewish law begins with worship, with the love of God. Because if it's true that we are made in God's image, we will find our fullest meaning, our true selves, the more we learn to love and worship the one we're designed to reflect. So these commands aren't a bind or a burden. It's about how to live life how it was meant to be lived, as our true selves. And he goes on to say, no half measures, heart, soul, mind, strength. That is, every aspect of human life is to be poured out gladly in worship of the one true God. So let's look just really briefly at each of these. Heart. Are you an emotions person? Are you an emotional person? Maybe some of us have been brought up to think that God and emotions don't really mix. That we're to know God in our head, but not in our heart, in our emotions. Blaise Pascal was a famous philosopher, and he describes his conversion experience like this. So see if this is head or heart. From 10:30 in the evening until 12:30, fire, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and not of the philosophers. Certitude, feeling, joy, peace. It's almost like words escape him. Just fire. That's emotional, isn't it? It's emotional. It's meeting God in the depths of his emotions. And when I was reading up a bit about this as well, I learned that for the Hebrew people, heart in the Hebrew language was often used figuratively to talk about those hidden places, those inaccessible places, because the heart was at the center. It was kind of mysterious because, you know, you couldn't see the heart. And I wonder if we open our hidden places, those places that are hidden from view, hidden from everyone else, that deep central part of it, if we make that available to God. We've heard already this morning how we can bring our emotions, whatever they are. And this commandment is asking us to do just that, to love God in those hidden deep places of ourselves. Soul. In Hebrew, this was about being a living, breathing, conscious body. So it wasn't just separating soul and body. It was the whole thing. Your deep motivations, your personality, who you are. And it includes your thoughts as well in the Hebrew concept. I think some people think that God doesn't like them very much. And if only we as a church could help people know that God loves them, that God designed them. God invented you. God invented you. Or as a mug that my mum got me says, you are God's very good idea. Do you love God with your gifts, your hobbies, your interests, your essence? And by that I don't mean your perfume, but your essence. A mind. We're told to love God with our mind. Some people go the other way, don't they? And faith is all about feeling. And we avoid thinking too deeply about things. I remember people warned me when I was going off to study theology. They were a bit concerned that it would demolish my faith. But do we grapple with things that don't make sense to us at first? Do we love God enough to care, to find out? Maybe sign up to an Alpha course or use a Bible study app to really think and allow God to speak to our minds. One of my very, very good friends called Karen has just qualified to be a train driver. Brilliant. And when she was first thinking about what she wanted to do next in her career, she thought about being a train driver, and then she thought, is that, you know, does God want me to be a train driver? Doesn't God want us to do sort of caring professions and really feel called to something? So what she did was she studied the Bible, she talked to other people, and she prayed about it. And she came to the conclusion, as you know, because I've just told you, that God was fine with her being a train driver. And it's brilliant to see how he's supported her through that. So sometimes we need to study and think and question and grapple and love God in our questioning. Maybe we struggle with our thoughts a bit. Maybe we have anxious or negative, unhealthy thoughts. Maybe we think badly about ourselves or others. Maybe we think judgmental thoughts. So there's a challenge here for us too, isn't there? What does loving God with your thoughts mean if you struggle with those kind of thoughts? How can we love God with our thoughts? And strength. This is about action, isn't it? About pressing on when you're at your wit's end, when you're tired. On Mother's Day, we might think of carers or parents or caregivers or mums changing a nappy or doing a night feed or working to put food on the table for their family. It's practical action. So this is about whole life, isn't it? This pattern that we're given of loving God isn't something on the side. Being a Christian isn't like being part of a bowling club or a knitting circle or, you know, saying, oh, well, I like going to the cinema. It's totally different, isn't it? This is all-consuming. It's life-changing. It's whole being engaging. It's about loving God with every fibre, no holes barred, nothing held back, no part of us not reached, no wounds untouched, and no part of your personality excluded. So that's loving God. Loving God. And then Jesus says, and the second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. And I wonder if we're tempted to separate the two in our minds, to think, okay, there's loving God. I'm quite good at that, really. Yeah, I love God. I'm not so good at loving my neighbour. No, I don't really love my neighbour. But I'm halfway there, aren't I? We can't separate them, can we? We can't separate them. I wanted to share an analogy. It's from, if you haven't come, you might have seen this chap, Krish Kandaya, on the news recently, because he's involved with helping with hopefully resettling Ukrainian refugees. But he founded this charity, Home for Good, which is all about encouraging Christians to foster or adopt. And it's all about supporting churches to become that wraparound extended family and support people who foster and adopt and give homes, open up their homes to children. And Krish Kandaya, I couldn't find the actual quote, so I might be hashing this up a bit, but he uses an analogy, and he says if something happened to him and his wife, and they were called away or they had to go to hospital, and their children were unexpectedly left at home on their own, and they asked some friends, some good friends, to go, can you go and look after my children, just make sure they're okay, make sure they've got food to eat and look after them. And if their friends didn't do that, but instead just phoned Krish and his wife up and said how brilliant they think, oh, you're such good friends to us, we really value your friendship, but didn't actually go and look after their children, how would Krish and his wife feel? We can't love God without loving our neighbour. We can't. We can't show our love for God if we don't love our neighbour. It's challenging, isn't it? It's really challenging. And what does it mean about loving your neighbour as you love yourself? Well, I found this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, which says, keep on loving one another. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Love others as you love yourself, as if you yourselves were suffering. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. We get tired and we get fatigue, compassion fatigue. But God is asking this. He's drawing this out of us. Love your neighbour. Love my children as you love yourself. So a question. What matters most to you? What matters most to me? We've heard Jesus' answer, haven't we? What matters most to him? And I'm struck by how Jesus embodies his answer. He's not, I don't know if you've ever had managers like this who say one thing, but you think, oh, you'd never do that yourself. Or if as a parent you've said, or maybe you've heard someone say, do as I say, not as I do. Well, today, I'm telling you, God is not like that. God doesn't tell us to do one thing and do the opposite. God embodies this teaching because he says it's the best way to live. It's the best way to live. So he tells us about it and he embodies it. He literally puts flesh on it. He's the Word become flesh. So he lives this way to show us and demonstrate to us. And he sends his Holy Spirit to give us the power to live this way too. Jesus loved God the Father with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind and strength. And he loved his neighbor, the stranger, his enemy, as he loved himself. Lord, may what matters most to you matter most to me too. And help me to embody this way of living so that I can take hold of the life for which you've taken hold of me. And I just want to say one last thing, because it's such a huge thing, isn't it? Such a huge thing. And maybe some of us feel we're running on empty a bit. If you're struggling with this, you're struggling, I don't have any more love to give. God can fill us up. God can mother us, can parent us, can be our caregiver today. He can give you and he can give me what we need today, if we give ourselves to him. Imagine a cup opening itself up to be filled. The cup sits there and is filled, but it has to be a cup. It has to be open. Can we be open to God today to give us what we need? Hosea 11 describes God like this. To them, I, God, was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Thank you, God, for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.